You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, Colt Molesky back with another Locked On Wolves podcast. I am here to talk about some playoff basketball, but first, thank you guys for hanging with me through my crazy schedule the last couple weeks. And we're going to be bringing over the game plan is over the next month here to try and transition from the end of the regular season into the draft. I thought last week we had a really good kind of wrapping up some of the highlights of the season, kind of wrapping up the Timberwolves season. Kind of talking about the way the season had progressed. I went through the three phases of the season with Seth Topol, the Scoop. Thought that was pretty good. If you haven't listened to it, go check that out from last Wednesday. Today I wanted to talk about the playoffs. Now, obviously, the Timberwolves are not in the playoffs. In case you missed that, the Timberwolves not in the postseason. But you know what? We've seen at least one game from everybody now. And I was thinking about going East Conference, West Conference. I'm going to try and stay tethered to at least one or two strings of reality. And we're going to go through the Western Conference and try and guesstimate which team the Timberwolves would be able to make a series against. Which team, if they're playing in a series, which team would they be able to have an actual series against versus just getting swept? Obviously, this is a bit of a reach because they weren't good enough to make the postseason. So you could be super negative and just say they wouldn't make a series against anybody because they weren't good enough to make it. We're not going to do that today. We're going to look at all these teams and ask ourselves which teams could Minnesota really take to 6-7 games. Which of these would actually be really entertaining series? And so obviously. Obviously, teams like the Warriors, not on this list. I know that they had a really exciting game against the Warriors, and they had the win. But overall, the Timberwolves average only 111 points, so not enough to beat a Warriors team in playoff form, especially defensive playoff form. Because I think when you're looking at these regular season numbers, you probably got to take, like, I don't know, 8 points away at least from that total, at least from that average, and say, well, they're probably not going to average that many through a series, at least eight. If you're looking at the Warriors, maybe even 10, looking at maybe 100 points a game is your average. If you're taking away 10 points, just over 100 for that four games, that's not going to be enough to beat the Warriors by any means. But they might make a couple games interesting, but that's not a good series. The Timberwolves did not play well 0-4 against the Nuggets. They did not play well against the Nuggets this year at all. I guess the Timberwolves, the biggest thing was they struggled against the depth of the Nuggets, but they were thrown in a funk by Jokic. Towns is a really good offensive piece, but sometimes against those elite bigs, he has really weird defensive nights, and sometimes that can affect his offense. The team as a whole did not function very well against the Nuggets this season. And so that right away, we're throwing that one out. I wanted to point out that one that actually could be kind of interesting, the San Antonio Spurs. I don't think the Timberwolves would beat the Spurs in a series, but they did average at home, in two games at home, they did average 120.5 points per game in those two games at home. So while maybe, I mean, and again, huge difference at home versus on the road. Against the Spurs on the road, they averaged 103 points, a 17.5 point difference home versus away, and those are two games for each of those. So a pretty decent sample size if you're looking at just over the course of the season. And they played San Antonio. I feel like those games were pretty spread out too, so you're getting different doses. So it's not like, oh, they played three games early on the season when they were kind of funky. I don't know. I felt like you got San Antonio in a couple different spots throughout the Timberwolves season, so I feel like it's pretty good kind of sample size you're getting. And they just play this team. For some reason, this is one of those teams that they play drastically differently at home. And obviously, they're a pretty rough road team, and they're much better at home, so that has something to do with it. But, man, that's a huge difference, home versus away, and a huge difference for the San Antonio Spurs just defensively. But nevertheless, I think that one could be interesting just because I think the Timberwolves might actually in a series be able to steal at least one, maybe two games at home versus the Spurs. So that one could be interesting, but you're also going up against Popovich as a coach. So that is a real bummer if you're coaching the playoffs. And two, you have to deal with Towns versus LaMarcus Aldridge. That has worked in LaMarcus Aldridge's favor more often than not when you're looking at just Spurs versus Timberwolves over the last couple of seasons, not just this season. And so that one would be a detractor as well. Another one that would be interesting, but I'm not sure it's at the top of my list here for teams to play, would be the Clippers. The Clippers' defense isn't great, and that's another one of those teams where at home the Timberwolves have put up oodles of points against them, 120.5. Again, against the Clippers in two games at home, and they only put up the one road game they had against the Clippers. They only put up 109 points. So another one where the margin is pretty big, home versus away. And so that's one of those where the Clippers' defense is not sturdy enough and not consistent enough, as well as the Timberwolves have played them really well, especially offensively, at home. And so I think that one could be one of those where the Clippers win a couple at home, go on the road, the Timberwolves maybe win two, and you're going back into L.A. With a tied series before they take another series lead there. And again, I don't think that the Timberwolves are disciplined or consistent enough to win a seven-game series against most teams, especially these playoff teams. I mean, if you're looking at both sides of the conference realistically, I think they could maybe beat the Pistons. But the biggest problem with the Timberwolves is that they have so many injuries that you're going in, you're thin, you're not able to throw a couple different things, a couple different looks at a team. And so when you're throwing kind of Towns at a team, they're really able to pick that apart and work around that, especially in a seven-game series. And so this is supposed to be a fun exercise. I'm just saying that despite not missing the playoffs, the Timberwolves have enough pure talent to play with some of these teams and make it interesting. And none other than the final team I wanted to talk about here. Let's take a break for some sponsors though first. Colt Molesky, we're doing kind of a fun exercise today talking about which teams I think the Timberwolves could play with in a series if they did make the playoffs. We've seen what these teams have to offer. Obviously, some extra punch from the Clippers the other night. You saw some extra punch from a San Antonio team that surprised maybe some Nuggets fans. At the same time, you saw that the Nuggets in that San Antonio game, just a tough night shooting from three, but they took over 30 three-point attempts. That's the type of team that bombs out the Timberwolves, especially when they're shooting like that with so many waves of shooters. That kind of stuff, it does not bode well for the Timberwolves, and when you're seeing that in the playoffs versus the regular season combined with what we saw, how the Timberwolves played the team during the regular season. Those two things kind of lead you to let you know a couple things about maybe how they would perform. And again, this is all guesstimation. Obviously, it doesn't bode well for a Timberwolves team that didn't even make the playoffs against these teams. But you know what? This is a fun exercise. This is what you do when you don't make the playoffs, is you guess and you hypothesize and you wonder what went wrong during the regular season and all that good stuff. So that's what you do during the postseason. It's a much more grim exercise over for the most part than for the teams in the postseason. But hey, you know what? You get what you get. So, we're going through. I liked maybe a potential series against San Antonio. Didn't really like the Warriors. Didn't really like the Nuggets. The Jazz. The Jazz looked so bad against the Rockets the other night. And again, the Rockets are not the Timberwolves. That goes without saying. But Clint Capela just joked Gobert and that team defensively. And again, the Timberwolves don't have the three-point shooting that the Rockets do, obviously, but that team looked confused defensively for the playoff spotlight. I mean, if they looked that confused against the Timberwolves, I mean, I'm in for that series. They probably don't look that confused, but I mean, if that's the way they want to play defense in the postseason, I would 100% would love to play them in the postseason if I could put the Timberwolves, insert the Timberwolves into a series. However, the number one team that I want to play, you guys know which team I want to play in the postseason. You know which team I want to play in the postseason. This is the only team that the Timberwolves have a positive record against who are in the playoffs, in the Western Conference playoffs right now. The OKC Thunder. That's right, I want to play the Thunder. Who would have guessed it? I mean, first of all, the number one reason you want to play the Thunder, right, is that this Paul George injury looks like it's way more serious than they were letting on. And obviously, he was a guy who was legitimately an MVP candidate. I mean, if you think he was an MVP candidate, I don't know what basketball you were seeing for the first 4 months of the season. But a legitimate MVP candidate hurts his shoulder, and so you're not sure. They don't let off a lot. They're really you know what they are? They're very hot NHL-esque about the injury. They're very vague. They don't really want to say what's going on. Hurts his shoulder, is out for a little bit, it comes back. He's clearly not the same guy offensively, and which is understandable. I mean, when you hear guys like Kyle Korver talk about this, when you mess up a shoulder, it messes, or really any injury messes with your shot and takes a while to tweak your shot back into form. But especially an upper body injury messes so much with that shooting motion that you have. And so you knew that this was going to take some time. You knew that this was going to be something that hampered him for a while. But the way that he has consistently not only hurt his shot, but seemingly destroyed it. Watching him in that Portland game, I mean, it was cringeworthy every time he was taking a three. You're just, oh, please, for the love of God, don't take the three. Don't do it. Please don't shoot that three. And honestly, I think that in a month or 2 months, we're going to hear a story about how he has to go in for surgery or something, or that he had a torn rotator cuff that he's had to rehabilitate as the offseason has started up, because it is really bad. It is really, really bad. And you can see him grimace through contact. You can see him really struggle to get any kind of shot going. I mean, the only way that he was getting his buckets was heading to the... I mean, and that's a testament to how good Paul George is if you can't find your shot, getting to the free throw line, creating some sort of offense. I mean, that's what you do when you're a really good player. That said, they need more than free throws from him in the postseason, and he could not find anything but free throws. He was shooting mostly bricks. I honestly, that late three that he hit against Portland to kind of make them sweat it out in the last minute and a half, I have no idea how he got that up, because not only was he shooting terribly, but I can only imagine when your shot is that off and then you keep shooting and keep shooting, I can only imagine how much pain he was in trying to shoot those. So that's the number one reason I want to play Paul, is Paul George, their best player, and the thing that really made their offense look elite dangerous during the regular season was Paul George and what he was doing. And so when you have a guy who doesn't have his shooting shoulder, I would love to play that guy. The other reason is you'd actually have Wiggins. Now, we only have one series of stats on Wiggins, but it seems like you can confirm if you're taking that plus the last couple of years of Wiggins. It seems like the deduction is that even in playoffs, it's very specific times where he actually cares about the basketball game and actually is super engaged and super locked in. He is locked in every single Thunder game. For some reason, he hates... I mean, I don't know what happened if he was like bully, if there was like a group of OKC transplants in Canada where he went to high school that bullied him relentlessly for some reason, or maybe one time when he was like driving through OKC, maybe he got bullied by in a Big 12 game by Oklahoma when he was at Kansas. Maybe that's it. Maybe he got incessantly bullied by Oklahoma Sooners fans. Maybe I don't know. Something about Oklahoma has scarred him in a way where he feels like he has to go scorched earth every single time he goes and plays that Thunder team. And so the second reason I want to play OKC is you're getting an uber locked in Wiggins, which means if you're playing with an uber locked in Wiggins, Wiggins versus Thunder is an all-star player. He's the all-star player that you thought you were getting when you drafted him in number one. And so Wiggins versus Thunder equals an all-star player. So now the Timberwolves automatically upgrade their roster without having to make a trade to two all-star players. They have Towns and Wiggins. So in that series, in a seven-game type series, you'd have two all-star players. That automatically upgrades your team. Another reason is because Towns has played really well against the Thunder. And I mean, when you're upgrading, so you're upgrading one player to all-star. So you're upgrading from a confusing, disappointing player to an all-star level player. So now you have two all-stars. And then you go and you take Towns, who has had just a whale of a season. We have spoken the praises of Towns on this podcast throughout the entire season. So you're taking him against a team he likes to compete against, and now you're upgrading your offense even more. He averaged 24 points. 28.5 points to be exact. 8.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, one steal, averaged 53% from three. All of these against OKC in the four games against OKC, 57% from the field. He's played really well offensively against the Thunder. And so you're maximizing, not only are you maximizing a player who's not an all-star, but you're maximizing your all-star player to another level over his season average. And so now it's starting to end. And so once you're having to rely more heavily on the Thunder bench because you're losing Paul George, now your starters are starting to really look better than the Thunder's starters. I think that kind of closes the gap a little bit on the talent deficiency, just because of the injuries. The Timberwolves are going to be behind the eight ball on basically all these teams because they don't have the depth that maybe some of these that a lot of these teams are going to pose. And just backtracking a little bit here, Wiggins' numbers versus the Thunder, to get a comparison here, he's averaged 18.1 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists through the regular season. Against the Thunder, 28 points per game. He's averaged 6.8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, half a block. And this is absolutely incredible. So in the regular season, throughout the season, Wiggins has shot 41% from the field, 33% from three. Against the Thunder, he has shot 51% from the field, 52% from three on 4.8 threes per game in that four-game stretch. This is ridiculous. He's averaged 74% from the free throw line. He is an all-star against the Thunder. And so take all of that, and that helps really minimize the injuries, the impact of the injuries and the depth issues that you'd have from the Timberwolves. Here's the thing. Not only will I say that this game goes 100%, no doubt in my mind, this game goes seven. This series goes seven if the Thunder and the Wolves are playing. Oh, geez, I almost said the Warriors. I got so excited about those Wiggins stats, I almost mistook Wiggins for a Warriors player. I'm just kidding. Calm down. Don't send anybody to pick me up for the psych ward. I mean, not only does this series go seven games, here's a bold prediction, and get your social media accounts ready, get your Twitter account ready, get everything ready to roast me. I think the Timberwolves actually might be able to win a series against the Thunder. That's right. Injured Paul George, plus crazy good Towns, plus super sane Wiggins. All-star Wiggins. This is all-star Wiggins. What's a good nickname for all-star Wiggins? We got to think of a good nickname for all-star Wiggins. Because All-Star Wiggins is too long. So, you know what? Send me on Twitter, @CMoleskay, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. Send me on Twitter your best nicknames for all-star level Wiggins. I don't want to hear jokes about bad Wiggins. Those are just sad now. It just makes me sad inside. But all-star level Wiggins, what's a good nickname for him? But so you have this team going against a Thunder that is clearly not sure how to shake off. And I know they shot poorly anyways, even without Paul George's numbers from three. But that's not an excuse, because you still got to figure out how to get around that. And I just don't know if their offense is built to get around that problem. And so you have that compounding with everything else for the Timberwolves. I think they actually have a chance to beat the Thunder and win a playoff series. And so that's the team I would love for the Timberwolves to get inserted into the series. Just let Portland go on to the next round and let the Timberwolves play the Thunder in the NBA playoffs. Just for Timberwolves fans. Come on. Come on. Please. 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 All right. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I want to do, over the next couple of shows here, I want to do the highlights of the last season. The highlights and the lowlights could be kind of fun. So that's what we're going to get into in a later show. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.